When you come to West Texas, folks, saddle up. You're going to go on a wild ride.
You're listening to the official podcast of The Nation, the premier voice for the fearless fans of Raiderland.
Get away!
What's up, Raider Nation? Welcome back to The Nation's official podcast. We are your hosts. I am TJ Kern. That is Blake Hartsfield. Blake, first things first, you had surgery yesterday, bud. How are you doing?
Man, I'm doing all right. It's a pretty big knee reconstruction on my right knee. It's actually the same procedure I had done on my left back last fall. So doing all right, as well as can be expected for one day post-op. But time doesn't stop for surgery. We've got a tournament that starts on Thursday that we need to talk about, and I'm excited to do so. So,
yeah, and before we get into that, we've got some really exciting news going on here with The Nation. We are glad to announce scarletandblackinsiders.com. Is it Insider or Insiders? I keep forgetting. Let me check out. I'm going to check this out. My bad for botching this, Michael.
Insider, but, TJ, if there's no S.
Insider, no S?
Yes.
Okay, my fault. scarletandblackinsider.com. That is going to be a new place for all Texas Tech info, behind-the-scenes interviews, your basic forum, right, like some others that I'm not going to name that talk about tech stuff. But we have a great crew, and we're going to announce that R.C. Maxfield, a lot of you guys out there know who he is. He is part of scarletandblackinsider.com, as well as Jacob Harris and Austin Massey, who were previously at 247 Sports on their forum. So we are very excited here at The Nation. Blake and I are going to be in and out of there doing a few things as well. So getting to interact with you out there at Red Raider Nation, be sure and check it out. And it's a project that we are very proud of. We are very excited about going forward. And Blake and I are going to be involved. So that's just a big, huge announcement here at The Nation. So I know we've been working hard behind the scenes, Michael and the guys. And I just want to give them props. Welcome RC, Jacob, and Austin back to the team officially. We'll be doing some things with them, try to get them on the podcast every now and then. But we are very excited about that. Blake, what are your thoughts?
I think it's a great forum, TJ. I think that they've got a great group over there with Austin and RC and Jacob, and those guys are all really talented at the things that they do. I know that you and I are also going to be involved there at some point. So it's a joint venture with The Nation. And I think it's a great addition to the forum group that there is for Texas Tech. There are a couple others out there, but I think this is going to be a great one to be a part of. I think they've got excellent people, and a lot of times the staff of those forums are what make the forum, right? Anybody can have a message board. You can go have people post on it, but what differentiates is the staff that you've got and the content that they're able to put out. And, you know, we've got three of the best in the business. So as it relates to tech sports, so I'm really excited about that.
Absolutely. So we are excited about the future there. And Blake, let's turn the page here. Let's rewind and go back to the Big 12 tournament that happened this last week. Tech had the double bye, which we talked about on our previous pod, was a great thing for this team to accomplish this year under Grant McCaslin in year one, finishing fourth in the Big 12. It led to a first-round matchup against BYU. Now, BYU came into Lubbock, had a huge lead. The Red Raiders had to make a huge comeback to get that victory. And, Blake, I was a little concerned about a potential matchup with BYU, but boy, the fellas on the court had other ideas.
They did exactly to BYU what BYU did to them in Lubbock, only we didn't give the lead back. There was a couple of moments there late in the second half where BYU tried to make a run, but the Red Raiders closed the door. TJ, it was a big win. You know, I thought personally it should have pushed them to the five line. Unfortunately, the committee seeds them as a six. I still think that's a great year. Getting a six seed is outstanding from where we started with Grant McCaslin, how late of a jump he got onto things. But, you know, I thought they should have been a five. I think Gonzaga and St. Mary's are both overseeded. Those two probably should have been on the six line, and Tech and BYU probably should have been on the five line. Although I think ultimately what hurt Tech, and this is not their fault, this is a BYU problem, but I think the committee had BYU and Tech seated pretty close to one another. BYU refuses to play on Sundays, and unfortunately the five seeds are all playing on the Friday-Sunday slate. And so when they had to move BYU down to the sixth line, I think Tech was punished for that and was moved down with them, and they put both of the West Coast Conference teams in Gonzaga and St. Mary's up on the five line. So not a huge difference in a five and a six. You have a slightly more difficult second round game in theory, right? Having to play a three versus a four, but you avoid the one seed in the Sweet 16 if you were to get there. So, you know, there's trade-offs either way. I don't think there's a huge difference, but, you know, I think Tech earned a five. They were given a six, but that's where we're at.
And let's just get right into it. So we make it to March Madness, which was our goal from the jump with Coach McCaslin. We had to get back to the tournament, had to have a solid season here, get a sixth seed. I was a little thrown off, if you will. You did a great job explaining as to some of the possibilities as to why they landed on the sixth line. But, man, NC State, the 11th seed, just went on a historic run in the ACC. They beat five teams in 5 days, and they are the ACC champions, Blake. That's who the Red Raiders play in the first round. Then if you can get by them, a potential second-round matchup with the Kentucky Wildcats, Blue Bloods are the Blue Blood. Like John Calipari, they run and gun. They play fast. They've got great guard play. But I Kentucky's going to be there, TJ. After talking to you, Blake, you've kind of got me talked into that if healthy, if Warren Washington's playing and he's out of the boot now, Darion Williams was in a boot. So, of course, if we are healthy, I think this team has a good chance to make it to the Sweet 16.
I agree with you, TJ. I think a lot of what I've seen on social media, the initial reaction from Tech fans was everybody thinks we got a bad draw. Everybody's deathly afraid of North Carolina State because they're quote unquote red hot. Everybody's afraid of big, bad Kentucky, to use the guy, Coach Brace quote from Notre Dame a couple years ago, you know, big, bad Texas Tech. TJ, this is not Kentucky of 7 years ago. I would like to point out the fact that Kentucky has not advanced through the first weekend since 2019, which was the year Texas Tech was in the title game. So that's how long it's been since Kentucky has even made a Sweet 16. Starting with NC State, TJ, I think this is a great draw. I really do. First and foremost, I think NC State, obviously they got red hot in their tournament. They won 5 games in 5 days, which doesn't happen very often. But TJ, this is, you drew a team that objectively was not anywhere close to being a tournament team going into the ACC tournament. They weren't even being talked about as a next eight out, right? They were not anywhere close to the cut line. So I am a bigger believer in that the larger the sample size, right, is more indicative of what a team is versus what they did in a short sample size in 5 games in 5 days. And I think you're getting one of the weaker teams in this field as far as major conference tournament teams. With NC State, there's really three guys that you have to worry about. And this is why I think Warren Washington, and rumors are he's going to play, as is Darion, but there's three guys. There's the big guy who I'm sure if anybody watched in the ACC tournament saw this dude, DJ Burns. He looks like an offensive lineman, TJ.
You know who like he looks 70. Like? You know who's that? You remember the AM1 guys, Escalade?
Yeah.
So for those of you that don't remember the AM1 mixtapes, this guy was like an offensive lineman, dribbling the ball between his legs, throwing no-look passes, getting rebounds. And I've seen some stuff on social media that this guy is kind of an Escalade, if you will.
So, yeah, TJ, he's unique, right? When Tech fans first see him, if you didn't watch any of the any of the ACC tournament, he's 6'10 and 275. So he looks like an offensive lineman. He does not look like he's very mobile when you see him. TJ, he's quick on his feet. He's got surprisingly good footwork for his size. I think he's probably their second best player to their point guard. DJ Horn, he averaged 17 points a game and 1.5 steals. That's going to be Joe Tuason's cover. I trust Tuason to at least, you know, stay in front of him, make things difficult. But Warren Washington being back is going to help with DJ Burns. I think if Warren Washington plays, which I expect him to, he should be able to take a lot of what DJ Burns does away. He's athletic enough to stay in front of him. He's taller than him. He's going to be able to, he has a better vertical than DJ Burns. So I think Washington can kind of, you know, mitigate what Burns does. The guy I'm actually most concerned about is their third best player. It's power forward Muhammad Diari, 6'10", 215. TJ, this guy is a very active rebounder, both on the offensive and defensive glass. And so we play usually four guards, one big, right? So that's the guy I'm probably most concerned with. It's going to require.
So would that be Darion's guy?
Probably. I don't know if Darion's big enough to cover him, though. So I don't know what exactly they're going to do. Probably Darion gets him most of the time because he's 6'6", but, you know, he's given up 4 inches there. However, I think on the other end of the floor, DR is going to struggle to guard Darion. So it's kind of that trade-off there. The key for Tech in this game, TJ, they don't have to win the rebounding battle. They're probably not going to win the rebounding battle against NC State. If they're competitive and they at least, you know, stay somewhat close, Tech wins this game, and I think they cover. It opened as a 5.5-point spread, TJ. It's the largest spread on the 6-11 line of any of the four games. So Vegas thinks that you're significantly better than this team. I think we're significantly better than this team again. They had to win 5 games in 5 days to even get in. If they had lost to North Carolina in the AC title game, they're not in the field. The 4 wins in 4 days was not enough to get them to the cut line. And TJ, look, this is a team that you should be able to beat. If we come out and we make shots like we're capable and we play our game, we win this game something like 75 to 67, 66, somewhere in there. TJ, BYU went on the road earlier this year and beat this team by 9 in North Carolina on NC State's home floor. You've beaten BYU twice. That's your only common opponent. But I think that this is a game that we should be able to win fairly comfortably if we play well.
And I'm very excited about it because if you can get past NC State, which we both agree, if you're healthy, you should, right? Because Tech, as a healthy team, is nowhere near a sixth seed. We can both agree there. So then you're talking about, let's talk about a potential second round matchup there with Kentucky. Great guard play, a lot of speed. They like to get up and down, but their defensive ratings in the computers haven't been that good. So don't know how much you know about Kentucky. The Shepherd kid is, I've seen him play a few times. He's a bucket getter. He can light it up.
Reeves is their best player.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that at healthy, being from the Big 12, Tech can play with anybody in the country. I think we both agree there.
Absolutely. Look, Kentucky, you actually, I think, match up better with Kentucky than you do with some of the other three seeds. Kentucky is not a they don't have a dominant big, so to say. They're a guard-oriented team, which Tech can match up well with, right, with our trio of or really our four guards that we play. But, DJ, you're going to call me crazy for this. I do think Kentucky will ultimately be who you play in that second round, but I think Kentucky's going to have their hands full with Oakland in the first round. And here's why. Oakland plays a weird zone. They play an extended 3-2. Now Kentucky does shoot the three well, but they live and die by the three. And they've lost a lot of games this year where they've shot at sub 35%. If their shots are not,
A&M, didn't they?
They did just lose to A&M. They got boat raced by A&M in the SEC tournament. TJ, if their shots are not dropping and they have a little bit of an off day, Oakland slows the game down. They play at a slow tempo. They play a 3-2 zone that gives people some challenges. They shoot the three very well themselves. They're kind of that classic mid-major that slows the game down, shoots the three well, can be dangerous in March. And they play a defense that's going to keep Kentucky out of the paint. Altogether. So if Kentucky's not making shots, I think they have a tougher first round matchup than we do, believe it or not, just stylistically. So I do think you end up ultimately play Kentucky. TJ, I have us beating Kentucky. Maybe that's a little bit of homer in me, but look, Kentucky was not dominant in the SEC this year. Tennessee was better than them. Auburn was better than them. You know, they've lost to Florida. They've lost to A&M. You know, they're the third or the fourth best team in the SEC. Tech is the third or the fourth best team in the Big 12, depending on how you view us against Baylor. I think healthy, we're better than Baylor, frankly. We did split with them without Warren Washington playing in either of those two games, and we were competitive in Waco. So you're not going to convince me that the third or the fourth best team in the SEC is that much is better than the third or the fourth team in the Big 12. I have Tech winning that game. So that's kind of how I feel about it.
If you can get there, Now you're talking. Now you're cooking with grease, because that bottom part of this bracket, I really feel like is wide open, because
it is,
I trust the Big 12. We watch the Big 12. We study the Big 12. I watch a few big games outside. You know, I'll watch a North Carolina Duke. I'll watch a UConn Marquette. And speaking of that Marquette team, they are in the two seed at the bottom part of this bracket.
TJ and their best player's hurt. He's missed the last six games of the year. It's unknown if he's going to be ready for the tournament. Now, maybe by the time that they get, if they get through the first weekend, he would probably be ready for week two. But TJ, if they don't have their star point guard, I don't know that they're beating Florida in the second round. And look, here's the kicker, man. You get through the first weekend, you beat Kentucky, you're playing home games. And I don't care if you play Houston in the Elite Eight, which is what I ultimately have in my bracket. Houston, if we played Houston in Dallas, it's going to be 90% Tech fans. That's just a fact, all right? Tech fans are going to fill that place up. It's going to be a rocking crowd for Tech. And anybody who you would play in that Sweet 16 game, right? It's one of Florida, the winner of the play-in game between Boise State and Colorado. Or Marquette, Western Kentucky as the 15 is not going to be the opponent. You're probably looking at the winner of Florida and Marquette would be my guess. You play either one of those two teams in Dallas, TJ, you're playing a home game. So you got to feel good there.
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest thing that has me excited about the opportunity to get through this first weekend, which, I mean, look, eight teams from the Big 12 got in. Okay, OU, maybe you can argue, should have gotten in. That would have been nine. But
OU got screwed. I don't even like OU. OU got screwed. They should have been in.
Yeah, and I think this country or this conference is the number one conference in the country, hands down. I think you'll agree with me there. So
all the metrics are with you, TJ.
I trust going through this gauntlet that we just went through. And I think if we were healthy the entire year, you're looking at a two or three seed.
Yeah, completely agree.
So getting healthy at the right time, getting a sixth draw, if you can find – now it's game by game. It's matchups. It's all that stuff when it comes to March. Look, it's win or go home. But like you said, I did a bracket. I only did one, and I have Tech playing Houston in the Elite Eight.
So do I.
So what stands out to you outside of the Tech region real quick?
Man, TJ – and I'm not trying to bash the committee, but what the hell are they doing with UConn's region? How is UConn the number one overall seed and they get Iowa State, who's, in my opinion, the best two? They get Illinois, who just won the Big Ten tournament as their three. They get Auburn, who just won the SEC tournament as their four. TJ, Iowa State and Auburn are both in the top five in KenPom ratings. And so three of the top five in the KenPom ratings are in one region. I don't think UConn got a fair draw here at all. As the number one overall seed, but it is what it is. TJ, I think Tech got a really good draw. I'm happy with it. I think they have an opportunity to do something. But look, here's the deal. Even if you get upset by NC State, this year was still a massively successful campaign for McCaslin and this team. We talked at the beginning of the year, just getting into the tournament would have been a success. Not only did they get into the tournament, TJ, they got into the tournament with flying colors. They dealt with injuries on an already short rotation. They finished, you know, tied for third, but they got fourth in the Big 12 because of the tiebreakers, basically because Baylor beat Iowa State and they played them twice and you did not beat them in the one game you played them up in Ames. Either way, no matter what happens, it's been a great year. But TJ, I really do think they have got a good chance here to make a little bit of a run.
Which is exciting. I mean, look, last year was so disappointing on so many levels for both of us. But the year before, man, I mean, that was our first basketball season really covering this team together as a team. And boy, did we have fun with that team going on that run in March and almost beating Duke with Paolo Banchero. So, man, hopefully this team can come together. Did you want to throw out your Final Four here?
I'll do Elite Eight and Final Four if you want to do that.
Okay.
All right, so I'll start up in the East, which is the UConn region. I've got I did go a little chalky here. I've got UConn and Iowa State, and I've got Iowa State upsetting UConn there. TJ, I'm a Iowa State believer. I think they're fantastic. I love their game. I love the way that they play. and I know that you know this, but I don't know how many of the viewers know this. I will root and have always rooted in March Madness for every Big 12 team not named Texas. And that will continue to be the case this year because you know how I feel about Texas. But I love Iowa State. TJ, they are literally our 2019 team again. Like that is who they are. They remind me so much of our group that made it all the way to the title game. And I'm just a big believer there. Moving down to the West, again, a little chalky. I've got, you know, North Carolina and Arizona, and I've got Arizona winning that game. I think North Carolina's overseeded as one. I think they should have been a two. And then in the Purdue region, I've got Purdue beating Creighton, so a one over a three. And then in our region, I've got Houston and Tech, and I picked with my head, not with my heart. I think that I think Houston is such a difficult matchup for us. What I will say is I think that if that game happens, I think this will be the closest of the three games that the two teams have played. You know, we played them in Houston in a game that we talked about on our podcast and post games that I don't think there were, you know, Houston had started 0-2 in conference play, and they were not going to go 0-3 with their first home game. So Tech was just kind of in the wrong place at the wrong time. You know, they had lost in Ames, and then they lost in Fort Worth to TCU. So you didn't really have much of a chance in that one. And then in the big, you know, in the tournament, Deron Williams didn't really play in that game. I don't know how much Tech really put into that game after they beat BYU. I think they were kind of like, hey, we did what we needed to do to secure the seed we'd want. So I don't put a lot of stock in that one. But if you played them in the Elite Eight, which is what I have, I did pick Houston. I don't think that that's an unwinnable game. I think that you would be playing a home game like I just talked about. I think that will help you. I do believe in the adage that it's hard to beat a team three times, and that would be the third time Houston would have to beat us. And then in the Final Four, TJ, I've got Houston beating Purdue, and I've got Iowa State beating Arizona, so a rematch of the Big 12 championship. And TJ, I'm rolling with the Cyclones, man. I'm an Iowa State believer. I love the way that they play. They remind me so much of our 2019 team that frankly should have won the national championship. And that's who I've gone with.
Well said, my friend. I enjoyed that one. Not a lot of thought is really kind of. I'm not an analyst, right? I just sit here and I'm like any other fan. I'm going through picking teams, rooting for the Big 12. So with that being said, my Elite Eight in the UConn region is also UConn and Iowa State. I do have UConn going to the Final Four, so we're different there. Scrolling on down to the North Carolina region, I have Baylor and North Carolina with Baylor coming out of that region just because I'm a Big 12 homer. It is what it is.
Not an unreasonable pick.
Yeah, so I've got Baylor coming out of that region. In our region, I've got Houston beating Tech. So I'm right there with you. I'm picking with my head, not my heart. So Houston, another Big 12 team in the Final Four. Then in the bottom, man, this Purdue bracket, I filled it out, and I was like, man, this got wonky in a hurry because I do have TCU beating Purdue.
Look, TJ, I don't think you're crazy with that. I actually really struggled with that game when I went to pick it. Even before last year's 1-16 upset, Purdue is notorious chokers in the tournament. You know, we beat them 1 year. They lost to Grant McCaslin's North Texas team 1 year when I think that was in a 14-3 first round matchup. They obviously lost the 1-16. So I think this is the year Purdue finally gets past some of those ghosts of the past, but you're not crazy in making that pick. I think TCU is going to, if Purdue survives that game, they're going to walk away bruised and bloodied from it because TCU is kind of, in my opinion, like the epitome of a Big 12 team, right? Like maybe not the most talented offensively, but they're physical. They battle you. They're competitive on the glass. They make things difficult. They're not fun to play against. So you're not crazy in that pick.
So, yeah, I mean, again, I'm rooting for the Big 12 there with the TCU pick, but I've just seen them play enough games against quality competition. I think they're going to knock off Purdue. And then this McNeese State team is getting a lot of love nationally. got them beating Gonzaga in the annual 5-12 upset. And then Kansas is not going to have McCullough. So we'll see what happens there. They'll get by Samford. But then I've got a TCU McNeese State matchup in that one. Down at the bottom, I've got and how about Rick Barnes versus Texas in the second round?
Yeah, I mean, that could be juicy.
Yeah, I mean, that's got a lot of headlines all over it. And then I've seen Tennessee, and I've seen Max Asemus play in March. I hate the Longhorns. I'm not going to root for them, but I'm picking with my head here. I think Texas beats Tennessee and gets to the next round. So I now have TCU, McNeese State, Texas, and Creighton. So I got to get a Final Four team out of those four.
Creighton.
Okay, so I'm going with TCU and Creighton there, and then I'll go ahead and take Creighton to the Final Four, and then it's going to be Houston. And I don't know why, but I've got Houston and UConn just head-to-head in the finals, and I've got Houston winning the whole thing.
Very fair pick, TJ. I think Houston's outstanding as well. I think had they not lost the guy that they lost – against us, that they probably would have won the national championship, but I think that injury is going to hurt them this late in the year. He's done. So that's why I don't have them winning the national title. I think Iowa State beats them again. But I think Houston's outstanding as well.
Yeah. So I have a good showing from the league, from the Big 12, from the conference, and very excited to see what happens here as we get going in the month of March here on the Nation's Official Podcast.
Yeah, TJ, I've got two upset specials for you. And I actually did my bracket before the McCullough announcement came out. Samford's taking Kansas down. And I like Kansas. You know how I feel about them as a program. But I just – their injuries coming in. Dickinson's not healthy. McCullough's not playing. They don't have a lot of depth. Samford's taking down them. And then my other big upset, TJ, and they're kind of my my sweet 16 darling, right? There's always one double digit seed that gets all the way to the sweet 16. Grand Canyon beats St. Mary's, who's missing their best player. Do what?
Chance McMillan's old school.
It is. But I think St. Mary's best player is banged up. I think that they take them down, and then I've got them beating Alabama, who I think is massively overseeded. I think Alabama's like 2-9 in quad one and two games. They beat up on the bad half of the SEC to get to a four seed, but yeah, that's where we're at.
Well, Blake, man, it's exciting. We want you to rest up. So, hey, I know you picked this week to schedule that surgery on purpose. You looked ahead. You're a smart guy. Wanted to be posted up for some games in March. But man, look, this is what we've got going. NCAA March Madness. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be fun. Either way, it's been a great year for the Red Raiders. Let's sit back Thursday night, see what we can do with NC State. Remember, scarletandblackinsider.com. Y'all check that out. Like, subscribe, comment, all that good stuff that you see with the Nation down here at the bottom. Follow Blake and myself. And Blake, how do we always get out of here, bub?
Wreck 'em.
Wreck 'em. We'll see what we can do here in attorney. We'll talk to you soon.